could take your Bibles and go with me tonight to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4. We're working through the characters of the Old Testament, and we've made our way all the way to 2 Kings, and we're now at the point where Elijah has gone off of the scene. He is translated. He doesn't die. He's translated and taken to be with the Lord. And he has a predecessor. The guy that follows him is Elisha. And Elisha is asked of Elijah, "What do you want? What do you want?" And Elisha says, "That's easy. I want a double portion of your blessing. Whatever God gave you, I want twice as much." There's nothing wrong with that. And we should be the kind of people who have a yearning to be more and more like God, to be used by God, not for our own praise and glory. The closer you get to God, you realize how rotten you are. But in spite of our rottenness, God wants to use us, and we should yearn in our hearts to be in tune with God and allow God to use us. And Elisha said, "Hey, I want a double portion of your blessing." God begins to use Elisha. As I've read my way from the last message I preached from the story of Elijah and made my way into the message that we're going to see in the passage we're going to see tonight. There's so many fun stories and interesting things that God does. And I feel led of God to go to chapter 4. We're going to see a little lady with two boys in a very difficult moment. But God proves himself faithful as he always does and meets this woman's needs. There's some great blessing here in this passage of Scripture. As we look at it, 2 Kings chapter number 4, we'll begin in reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." The Bible says in verse number 5, "So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live, thou and thy children, of the rest." And we come to this passage of Scripture, and it's so wonderful. Let's just take a second and figure out what I've done here. Have I got this thing muted? There we go. Now I don't. It's hard to read the Scriptures and push buttons at the same time. I push it the wrong way. I got it now, though. Maybe I'll stop popping at you. That popping drives me crazy. I don't know how you feel about it. So we come to this passage of Scripture, and when we look here in these first 7 verses of 2 Kings chapter number 4, we meet a widow lady. The Bible says in the first verse that she cried, that there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. And so we get an idea of what's going on. I don't know about you, but if someone starts crying, they can have anything I have because I just can't stand it. And he goes to the sons of the prophets. I mean, she goes to Elisha crying. The reason she's crying is because her husband's dead. The Bible describes this man as a man who was of the sons of the prophets. He was a man that was training. He was a man that was determined to serve the Lord with his life. He was a son of the prophets. He was somebody that was in the Lord's work. The Bible says, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord." What was this lady's take on her husband? She says, "You know my husband, he loved and feared the Lord." She says, "Here's my problem. Not only is he dead, but the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Can you imagine that situation? At this time in history, it's difficult in this day and age to be a widow, especially a widow raising children. It's difficult to be a single mother raising children, a single father raising children. It's hard. But at this season, there was no help. It was a very difficult time. And this woman was in a great, difficult season. The creditors whom she owed had now threatened to foreclose on her children. They couldn't make them slaves according to the Hebrew law, but they could make them indentured servants and send them wherever they wanted to send them. And so she was in a great difficulty. Her heart was broken. She's crying to the prophet. So the prophet asked her, now what do you have in your house? What's that have to do with anything? I told you they're getting ready to foreclose on my kids. What do you think I've got in my house? She says, I don't have anything except for a small pot of oil. At this time, oil was very important. It's necessary for cooking. It's necessary for light. A pot of oil was something that sustained life. She said, all I've got's a small pot of oil. The prophet says, okay, I know what to do. I want you and your sons to go into the neighbors and around. I want you to borrow as many empty vessels, as many empty jugs as you can find. Gather. He says, now don't gather a few, gather a bunch. So they went and gathered a whole bunch of empty vessels. He said, here's what I want you to do. When you get the empty vessels, I want you to put them in the house. I want you to close the door with you and your sons in the house, and I want you to take your pot of oil and just start pouring. Pour. Pour of your pot of oil, and you'll see what God can do. I can just imagine that moment when God produced a miracle in the life of this poor widow lady in front of her sons. The God of their daddy, he was gone, but his God wasn't. The God that he had preached to his kids to trust in proved himself alive and well, though he was dead and gone. Every time they poured one full, there was just enough oil to fill up another cruise. Until he'd filled up every one they had, and she looks in her little pot, and it still wasn't empty. This is a simple story, a beautiful picture of how God treats his people. And God's faithful provision, and a reminder that God takes care of us. There are things in this world far more important than worldly prestige or possessions. Faith in God, a reverence for the Word of God, a trusting in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ is something that lasts not just for a lifetime or a generation, but generations and for eternity. Thankful for the heritage of God's people, the faithfulness of God. So she fills up every pot that they could gather in town and squeeze into their house. She goes to the man of God, Elisha, and she says, it worked. Hallelujah. And the man of God said, I tell you what you do. Sell all the oil that you need to sell in order to pay your debt. And then live off the rest. And God met the need, and that's the end of the story. There's some fascinating things I want to share with you tonight as we consider the message titled simply Elisha and the Widow's Oil. Elisha and the Widow's Oil. The first thing that I want to tell you about tonight is a godly heritage is better than earthly abundance. Look at the Bible says in verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman to the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Now, this is a fascinating story. Now, it would be easy to look back and say, shame on this man for serving God, not taking care of his family. But that would be the wrong perspective on this story. Folks, I want you to know, it doesn't matter how much riches you pass on to your children. You pass on to the generations to come. All of us, anybody has any sense, knows that there can be fortunes squandered in a generation. But this man, a man who had given his heart and his life to serve the Lord, he did not have the ability or opportunity to leave to his children and his wife something that would pay the bills. It wasn't a trust fund. And there's nothing wrong with those. But he did not leave them a trust fund that might be squandered away. He left them something that offered greater riches and deeper blessing and a more lasting hope than any amount of material goods could ever offer. What did he leave them? A testimony of faith in the Lord. Oh, it's wonderful. What did this woman do, this widow? I mean, she's in desperate shape. She has literally done all she could. As far as we can tell, she sold every earthly possession that they had down to one little pot of oil. And the creditors have come and they're going to take her children to be indentured servants. But yet, in spite of her poverty, she had something that she could depend on. Something she could count on. Something that her dead husband had left her. A heritage. An inheritance. That was worth far more than any amount of earthly gain. You know what she knew? She knew that in her time of despair, she could cry to the Lord. She knew she could find help with the preacher and the people of God. And more than anything, she found out that God, the God of her husband, her own God, was faithful to meet her needs. Folks, I want you to know that a godly heritage is better than earthly abundance. A godly heritage is better than earthly abundance. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. Psalm 16, verse 1, David says, I have a goodly heritage. And Psalm 61, 5, the Bible says, thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. What was the praise of the psalmist? Did he praise Jesse for leaving him a big farm? Nothing wrong with that. And as a matter of fact, he did. But the greatest thing that pleased the heart of the man after God's own heart was that he had been left a heritage of people who loved and trusted God. A goodly heritage is better than earthly abundance. May I remind you, men, that the spiritual heritage that we leave for our children is far more important than the material one. There's a place for both, and I'm personally determined to be diligent, hardworking, use my resources wisely according to God's will. I don't want to be frivolous or unwise, foolish, but I'll have you know something. I must give more diligence to the Christian heritage that I leave for my children and the financial blessings that I provide. What was it? This man was dead and gone. But what did he leave? Nothing financial, but everything that they could ever possibly need. A place of refuge, confidence in the God who was provider. Isn't that wonderful? Elisha and the widow's oil, a godly heritage is better than earthly abundance. Number two, God often uses what we have to produce what we need. Now look at the scriptures. I think this is so fascinating what God does. Verse number two, the Bible says, Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? If I were this widow lady and the preacher said, what should I do for you? I would look at him and say, that's why I'm here. You're supposed to know what to do. He says, what should I do for you? The Bible says, tell me. He doesn't give her a chance to answer. He says, tell me, what hast thou in the house? I think the second question is worse than the first, don't you? Not that Elijah was doing anything wrong, but it just seems a little bit awkward. That was an awkward moment. Sometimes, right before God answers your prayers and meets your needs, you're going to experience some awkward moments. Now, she was in a tough spot. The creditors had just been by. No doubt this wasn't something that had been seething in her soul for days on end. I bet they just left and she said, oh my lands, what am I going to do? They're going to take the kids probably tomorrow. And she makes her way straight, tear-stained face, right to the man of God. He says, what do you want me to do? What hast thou in the house? She said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house except, save, a pot of oil. What'd she have? A pot of oil. What did God use? A pot of oil. It's amazing how God does that. Moses, you remember Moses? He'd been out on the backside of the desert for a long time. His earthly possessions were very small. But he did have a staff in his hand. What did God use as a picture of his power all through Moses' life, all through Moses' years of delivering the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage? What did God use? What he had, a staff. When David went down to fight Goliath, was it Saul's armor and sword that protected him? No, he had to shake it off because he hadn't proved it. But God used what he had, a sling. And in this passage of Scripture, God used what he has. This happened something similar to Elijah not very long ago. Elijah went to a widow's house, and the widow had just enough meal and oil for to make one last cake of bread for her and her son. They were going to cook it, eat it, and die of starvation. But what did God use to feed the prophet and feed this woman and spare this family's life? What they had. Now, the point I want to make is this. We think, oh, if I only had that, then I could have what I need. Look, we need to be looking around and give God praise for what we do have and use what we do have, because God uses often what we have in order to give us what we need. Do you have a measure of strength? Then by all means, work. Do you have an opportunity? Then follow through. I meet lots of people who say they're down on their luck, but they're too sorry to go to work. If you want to know the honest truth, it makes me madder than a hornet. Can't stand it. Meet a lot of folks who, boy, it's rough times. But they'd spend enough money on unnecessaries that they could easily take care of their family. That's not right. First thing that people need to do in our times of despair is look at what we have. And if you have something, then let God use it. And be wise with the things that God has trusted you with. All through the years, I look forward one of these days. It's so fresh. I'm young. Very young. It's so fresh, the many ways in the last 13 years of pastoring, in the last 16 years of being married, it's so fresh and so personal in so many ways that I don't share many stories. But I wish I could just take a minute and tell everybody the hundreds of times in the last 16 years that God has abundantly met mine and my wife's needs. I mean, it comes at unusual times and unusual ways. And in ways we never expect. You know, I've never taken a job at a church or anywhere else that I didn't take a pay cut. I'm a genius, I'm telling you. I've never moved anywhere that I didn't take a pay cut. But you know what I've always seen? God's faithful provision. And I'm not talking just a little bit. But you know how often God uses, how God provides for me? With things he's already entrusted me with. Fixing somebody's electric or fixing somebody's car or building something or making something or selling something or, I mean, it's just something that God's given me that I can do, and he's always met my need with something I already have. But you know what? It's easy to just get so pouty and get so mad because we don't have everything we want when we want it, yet God's put it right in front of us, and He often wants to give us what we need with what we already have. But He's always faithful to provide. So the man of God says, what do you have in your house? I want you to look around and say, what is it that I have in my house that God can use to meet my needs? And I need to trust Him. I need to be willing to trust Him. I need to be willing to put forth effort. You know, someone said it like this. We need to pray like everything depends on God. And we need to work like everything depends on us. When those two characters meet, then there's the product of God's blessing. So this little lady, God taught her a valuable lesson. He often uses what we have to produce what we need. Number three, obedience precedes blessing. Obedience precedes blessing. I remember when I was a dorm supervisor at Crown, I would sing a silly kid children's song with the people, the men in my dorm. I remember these guys all the time. Everybody was having trouble. It was always tight being a college student. You remember being a very poor college student. If you were a college student, you probably were a very poor college student. But I remember these college students, and they were all raising money, trying to pay their bills, and everybody's down in the dumps about this and that occasionally. And all the time, I'd have dorm devotions. I'd say, all right, boys, let's sing our song. They knew exactly what it was, and we'd sing O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And I'd say, come on, guys, spell it. And they'd start saying, O-B-E-D. Because quite frankly, when we obey what God has already showed us, then we can know that God will continue to show us what we need to do next. Obedience. We whine and complain and cry and wring our hands and fret and fear and worry, yet we will not obey God in the ways that He's already made clear that we need to obey Him. Do you want God to do something amazing with your life? Do you want God to provide for you in a very wonderful, miraculous way? Wonderful! Then obey Him and obey the light that you already have. And guess what happens? When you obey the light you have, God gives you more. The Scripture says it like this: Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp and a light are very specific terms. They do not shine a long way off, but they show me each step I take. And every step I take in obedience precedes God's blessing and further direction. And so, here's what happens to our woman in our story. The Bible says in verse number 3, Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. I've underlined that phrase in my Bible. I love that. Borrow not a few. Now, Elisha was just saying, Now, I'm giving you a hint to God's blessing. You just plan on God blessing you big. Don't just borrow a couple and say, Plan on God blessing you big. Don't borrow just a few. Borrow a bunch. The Bible says, and Elisha continues with his instructions. He says, When thou art come in, after you've borrowed the bunch of empty vessels, when you've come into the house, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. He says, every time you fill one up, set it aside and fill up another one. Sounds far-fetched, doesn't it? You know what I'd be saying? Yeah, right. I know how much is in my little pot. You're telling me to do something that's impossible. He said, that's fine. I'm telling you to do something that's impossible. Well, with God, all things are possible. Some of us look at the principle of tithing. We think, that's not possible. Well, I'm telling you, with God, all things are possible. We're looking at the principle of faithfulness and faithful church attendance. And I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd. Well, you know, it's just not possible. And I'm telling you, with God, all things are possible. We look at the principle of a daily devotion and a relationship with Christ. You say, that's impossible. I'm telling you, with God, all things are possible. And there are things that God wants to do in your life. If you'll just simply obey what He's given you, then you're going to see that He is faithful to provide. Oh, He's good. You see, obedience precedes blessing. What happens? The man of God will give her something quite impossible to do. Take your little pot and fill up a house full of pots with oil. The Bible says, verse number 5, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. You know what she did? She got to the place where she wasn't afraid to use what she had in order to get what God could provide. Isn't that how we get sometimes? We think, man, it's too tight. I can't do that. It's too hard. I can't do that. God says, hey, pour out. Pour out of yourself, and God will pour out for you a blessing. She poured out, the Bible says, and it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, can you imagine? I want to look at her face. You see her face? Dave, she's closed the door. It's just something between her, her boys, and God. The only people on earth that know about it. And she's poured until the vessels were full. Do what? What have you done, Lord? That she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. She'd been pouring and pouring. She said, bring me a vessel. She'd got to where she's getting good at this. Bring me a vessel. And he said to her, there's not a vessel more. He said, Mama, we used them all. The Bible says, and the oil stayed. Now, I like that little phrase. The oil stayed. It just kept on. It stayed. It didn't leave. It was something that lasts. God's blessing is something that lasts. It's something that lasts more than just a day or two. The oil stayed. Verse number 7. The Bible says, then she came and told the man of God. Folks, I just want you to understand that obedience precedes blessing. If you're a Christian today and you think, boy, Lord, I stand in need. I love that little song. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You say, Lord, I stand in need. If the Holy Ghost of God has impressed on your heart right now some way that you have not been obeying Him, obey God in the light that you have and trust Him to meet your need for the future, because obedience precedes blessing. And finally, number 4, God abundantly provides. Look what happened. Verse number 7, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt. And live thou and thy children of the rest. I love that. It's so simple, but so beautiful. God provided exactly what she needed, not only to pay her debt. The man of God said, take what oil you need, pay your debt. The debt's paid. And when the debt is paid in full, he said, then you take the rest, and there's going to be more than enough for you and your sons to live on the rest. God provided for her in a very special way. Oh, it's wonderful. God provided for her. In the Bible, the oil is often a picture of the Holy Spirit. And there's a New Testament principle that comes right out of this passage of Scripture. You know what's wonderful? When we put our trust in the Lord, we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Guess what? He is sufficient to pay our sin debt in full. Hallelujah. But He is also sufficient to meet our every need as we live life to its fullest. I remember I'd just been called to be the new pastor at Boiling Springs Baptist Church, and I was still the youth director at Temple Baptist Church. There was a few week period there when everything was in transition. I remember sitting down in my office at Temple, and I thought, boy, I tell you what, I'm just going to sit down right now. I got me a clean legal pad and a pen. I said, I'm going to sit down right now and I'm going to write pages of stuff that I'm going to do for God at Boiling Springs. I'm going to write down my vision. And I thought, boy, this is going to be good. I'm going to knock it out of the park right here, right now. I sat down and I said, all right, Lord, show me what it is. It's going to be awesome. I sat there for a minute and sat there for 5 minutes and 10 minutes and 15 minutes. I said, Lord, what is it? What do you want me to do? Next thing you know, the Lord impressed on my heart one verse of Scripture. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10:10. And really, the Lord impressed on my heart, and I wrote that verse down on top of my legal page. And God made it clear that my plans, my ambitions were just things rooted in me. But that if I would make much of Jesus, then Jesus, like the oil in this little widow's home, would be all that people need. If we exalt Christ, Jesus says that I will give them life. We are dead in our trespasses and sin. We owe a debt that we cannot pay. But Christ paid a debt for us. And Jesus showed me that day in my office. He said, hey, if you'll just exalt me and preach me, then I'll provide for those that are dead in their trespasses and sins life. He says, if you'll preach me, not only have I come to give them life, but I've come to give the living life more abundant. That's what Jesus does. Not only does he pay our sin debt, but he meets us every step of the way. Every day, every hour, every moment, our Savior's leading us and meeting our needs and providing and proving himself faithful. God provides abundantly. What did God do for this little widow lady? Did he just pay her debt and say, you know, suck it up from here on out, honey? No. He gave her what he needed to pay the debt, and also gave her what he needed, what she needed to live life abundantly. That's what God does. Isn't it wonderful? I'm so thankful that I don't have to depend on Cody. I'm so thankful that I don't have to depend on Cody, but I should, with the Lord's help, remember that a godly heritage is better than earthly abundance. I know this man rejoiced in glory, knowing that he'd left behind what his wife and children really needed. I need to be reminded that God often uses what we have to produce what we need. Look around and see what it is that you have that God wants to bless, and don't be afraid to use it. I think we need to remember tonight that obedience precedes blessing. What is it that you need to obey the Lord in? What is it that you need to trust him with? Obey the Lord. And finally, God abundantly provides. Aren't you glad? He gives us eternal life, and he gives us life abundant. That's how wonderful our Savior is. I think God shows a few things from Elisha and the widow's oil. God is faithful. Put your trust in him. Let's pray.